practice all these practical teachings and doctrines of Islam in the rest of the month. It seems that even the philosophy of the holy month of Ramadan is this, that every year Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of all those practical teachings and beliefs that we have to observe. If we sometimes forget, or if we sometimes feel that we are, for example, not able enough to practice them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that look at the holy month of Ramadan. In this holy month, you can fast, you can control, for example, not eating, not drinking, which is, you are always busy with this eating and drinking, for example.
Yes.
But of course, fasting is not only this not eating and let's say drinking. But of course, since we practice in this holy month, practically we improve a lot.
Yes.
So this is a very, let's say, a grateful rahmah and blessing of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should, in the rest of the months, we try to again fast.
Yes.
I mean, what I mean by fasting is this, that, for example, when during this holy month, you control your eyes, you control your ear, you control your tongue, you control your heart, your mind, you know, so these are some kind of practice that you practice, because these are also some recommended things, not recommended, it's wajib obligation.
Yes,
it's
wajib one, that's right. Okay.
To control all these things in the holy month of Ramadan. So Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, okay, you could control all these things in this holy month and the 30 days.
Yes.
So it's not difficult for you to practice the same way, to continue to be again spiritually try to be pure in the rest of the months.
Okay.
So that's why it's this holy month is like a kind of practicing, a kind of exercising.
Yes.
That we exercise, that we practice, it enables us to continue the same kind of lifestyle in the rest of the year. In the rest of the year,
that's right.
So that is why I think the philosophy or the main rationale behind this holy month of Ramadan is this: that we should continuously control all bad desires, not to commit them, not to commit sins in the rest of the month. That's why this month is really the month of rahmah, the month of blessings. Yes. That the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the end of this month, he was approaching towards the end of this month, he had a kind of farewell for this holy month, a kind of dua, a kind of beautiful kind of zikr, of supplications. It means that what important is this month, and when we lose this month, what a let's say golden kind of opportunity we are losing, because we are not for sure that for the next year we would be able to fast. So that's why I hope that our brothers and sisters try to be in the status of fasting, kind of fasting, in the rest of the months and the rest of the year as well.
That's all right. Okay, thank you very much. And Sayyid Zain, as we know, the month of Ramadan is the month of the best types of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the etiquettes that it has. And some of these etiquettes are limited to its own. For example, Layali al-Ghad, or keeping vigil, or for example, we can say fasting itself, I mean, in terms of hunger and thirst or something like that. Are we allowed, or is it at all recommended to continue such etiquettes after the holy month of Ramadan too, or not?
So there's obviously recommended fasting that a person can do. Obviously not on Eid itself, or days when it's not allowed to fast, but every other day it's mustahab to fast.
Yes, okay.
So that is one thing, keeping in mind, you know, circumstances and health and all these things, that a person can continue to fast, or fast a few days a month, something like this. That, and also you mentioned vigil, staying awake at night. So we can partially do that by waking up a bit earlier than Salatul Fajr.
Yes.
Right? That, you know, for the sake of fasting, we did that for a whole month.
Mm-hmm.
That because we knew that we would be hungry, you know, the whole day, we made sure that, okay, we would get up earlier before Salatul Fajr.
Yes.
And eat and make sure that, you know, we eat enough and all these things. But if we can do that for our physical needs, then why can't we do that for our spiritual needs, right? Where we're told that Salatul Layl, it's, you know, if you want the best in this world, then we do Salatul Layl. If you want the best in the next world, we do Salatul Layl. So if you keep that in mind, then we can, you know, as the Sheikh said, that, you know, we were able to do it for a whole month.
Yes.
We can do that, you know, inshallah, keep doing that, that we do wake up a little bit before Fajr, inshallah, do Salatul Layl, and take, you know, blessings of that time of the day, and, you know, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in, you know, in that state. And,
Keeping away from food and drink, Shaykh, and also sharing your wealth with the needy at the end of the holy month of Ramadan are some of the important features of the holy month of Ramadan. How do you think these features can help us in order to improve our Islamic lifestyle during other days of the year?
Being
taken care of, not overeating, or I don't know, for example, amassing wealth or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And taking care of the poor and the orphans, you know, during mm-hmm. all other days.
Yes, of course. As you know, of course, fasting has different aspects and dimensions. One of them is that spiritual aspect that we discussed. And of course, there are some other aspects. For example, we even can term it as economic aspect.
Yes.
Economically talking, of course, when you, for example, tolerate a kind of hunger or thirst during the day, so it reminds you of the poor people, of the needy Muslims, of the needy brothers, that they are in need of your help, that they are in need of your support. So of course you could care about them, you could sometimes think about them, you do not forget them, for example, so it makes you a bit more helpful, supportive of the other brothers and sisters. I think in this case you would share, for example, your properties mm-hmm. With the others and try to support them as much as you could, you know.
Yes.
So that's why of course, as you rightly mentioned, the wastage of ni'amat, of the
yes.
blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a major sin.
Yes.
That we should not, for example, overeat, for example, yeah.
Yes.
We should not overdrink. It's not only regarding drinking and eating, you should not overuse, we can say, all the or utilizing all the other properties that
yes.
you have. If you have something extra or, let's say, additional to what you need, so of course you can share it with the others, you can support the others, you can help the others. It is a kind of charity, it's a kind of sadaqat that will have lots of blessings and rewards for you in the hereafter life. That is why, of course, I think, yes, this fasting can help Muslims
mm-hmm.
To economically also be concerning about the needy,
yes.
about the poor, about to try to solve the problem of poverty okay. from this society. Because it would be considered as a kind of ibadah, you know.
Yes.
When you help, when you support the poor and the needy, it is ibadah.
Yes.
It's a kind of worship.
Yes.
Active worship will have rewards.
Yes.
While in non-Islamic schools, we have only, for example, from moral perspective, you might say that okay, supporting
yes.
and helping others
ethically,
is a good action.
Yes.
Is a good action.
Yes.
But Islamically talking, it's in addition to that moral aspect that it has, it is already there. But in addition to that, it is a kind of worship, active worship, that it helps you to attain proximity to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a kind of perfection for yourself. So that is why it will have rewards, you know, mm-hmm. numberless rewards in the hereafter
yes.
life. So that's why it more motivates you to be more economically supportive and, let's say, helpful to the other people, to
yes.
particularly to the mu'minin
right.
who are poor and needy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's all right. Thank you very much, Sayyid Zain and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the topic, how to keep the spirit of the holy month of Ramadan alive when this holy month is finished. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information on this program and other programs, visit our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all and fi amanillah.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
The U.S. Supreme Court agreed recently to take up the unprecedented claim that Donald Trump has absolute immunity from prosecution in the criminal case over his efforts to overturn the 2020 election results, throwing into jeopardy whether it goes to trial before the 2024 presidential election. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. The special counsel pursuing federal criminal charges against Donald Trump for his efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss filed a U.S. Supreme Court brief on Monday, 8th of April, urging the justices to reject the former president's bid for immunity from prosecution on the principle that no person is above the law. The case is due to be argued before the justices in the coming days. Donald Trump has appealed a lower court's rejection of his request to be shielded from the criminal case brought by special counsel Jack Smith because he was serving as president when he took the actions at the center of the case. In his last court filing before the arguments, Jack Smith told the justices that Donald Trump's actions that led to the charges, if he's convicted, would represent an unprecedented assault on the structure of our government. Special prosecutor Jack Smith wrote, "The effective functioning of the presidency does not require a former president to be immune from accountability for these alleged violations of federal criminal law." He added, "To the contrary, a bedrock principle of our constitutional order is that no person is above the law, including the president." Donald Trump, the first former president to be criminally prosecuted, has pleaded not guilty in this case and the three other criminal cases that he faces, seeking to paint them as politically motivated. He has argued that as a former president, he has absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for his official acts, and warned that without such immunity, the threat of future prosecution and imprisonment would become a political cudgel to influence the most sensitive and controversial presidential decisions. In August of 2023, Special Counsel Jack Smith brought four federal criminal counts against Donald Trump in the election subversion case, including conspiring to defraud the United States, obstructing the congressional certification of Joe Biden's electoral victory, and conspiring to do so, and conspiring against the right of Americans to vote. Jack Smith's view was backed on Monday, 3rd of April, by a group of 19 retired four-star U.S. military officers and other former high-ranking national security officials, including retired Army generals Peter Chiarelli and George Casey, former CIA director Michael Hayden, and former Navy Secretary Ray Mabus. In a friend-of-court brief, they called Donald Trump's claim of presidential immunity contrary to the foundational principles of our democracy. The former officials told the justices, unless Donald Trump's theory is rejected, we risk jeopardizing America's standing as a purported guardian of democracy in the world and further feeding the spread of authoritarianism, thereby threatening the national security of the United States and democracies around the world. The Supreme Court's decision to hear arguments on Donald Trump's immunity bid in late April postponed his trial, giving Trump a boost as he tries to delay prosecutions while running to regain the presidency. Trump, last October, sought to have the charges dismissed based on his claim of immunity. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan rejected that claim in December. On appeal, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit on 6 February ruled 3-0 against Trump's claim. Donald Trump and his allies made false claims that the 2020 election was stolen and devised a plan to use false electors to thwart congressional certification of Joe Biden's victory. Trump also sought to pressure then-Vice President Mike Pence not to allow certification to go forward. Donald Trump's supporters attacked the Capitol building on 6 January 2021 in a bid to prevent the certification of election results. The English website of Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. The US Supreme Court agreed recently to take up the unprecedented claim that Donald Trump has absolute immunity from prosecution in the criminal case over his efforts to overturn the 2020 election results, throwing into jeopardy whether it goes to trial before the 2024 presidential election. The justices set oral arguments for the late of April to consider a recent ruling by a three-judge panel at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, which categorically rejected Donald Trump's immunity claim in a decision recently. Donald Trump's criminal case will remain on hold until the Supreme Court ultimately rules on the matter, inserting it into the politically charged position of potentially influencing whether Trump will go to trial before the presidential election in November. The unsigned order said the court intended to address at oral arguments whether, and if so, to what extent does a former president enjoy presidential immunity from criminal prosecution for conduct alleged to involve official acts during his tenure in office. In the federal 2020 election case, Donald Trump faces a four-count indictment in Washington, D.C., brought by the special counsel Jack Smith, that charges him with conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct the congressional certification of the election results, and violating American citizens' rights. Donald Trump sought to have the charges dismissed last year, arguing in a 52-page court filing that the conduct he was charged with fell under the so-called outer perimeter of his official duties, which meant he could not be prosecuted because of the broad protections afforded to the presidency. The motion to dismiss contended that all of Trump's attempts to reverse his 2020 election defeat, detailed in the indictment, from pressuring his Vice President Mike Pence to stop the congressional certification of Biden's victory to organizing fake slates of electors, were in his capacity as president and therefore protected. At the heart of Donald Trump's legal team's filing was the extraordinary contention that not only was Donald Trump entitled to absolute presidential immunity, but that the immunity applied regardless of Trump's intent in engaging in the conduct described in the indictment. The arguments were rejected by the presiding U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan and subsequently by the three-judge panel at the Washington, D.C. Circuit, which wrote in an unsigned decision that they could not endorse such an interpretation of executive power. The opinion by the three-judge panel said, at bottom, former President Donald Trump's stance would collapse our system of separated powers by placing the president beyond the reach of all three branches of the government. We cannot accept that the office of the presidency places its former occupants above the law for all time thereafter.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about the verses of the Holy Quran pertaining and related to the concept of humanity and different dimensions and different aspects related to this being. And by doing so, we try to understand the general picture and image that Quran and the religion of Islam present of humanity and the destination and the plan that Islam has for the perfection for this being. In the previous episodes, we talked about different dimensions of the soul. We ended up talking about reason and intellect. And in the discussions that we had, we said that it's very important for us to refer to some of the ahadith pertaining and interpreting some of the verses of the Holy Quran. Now, one significant thing in the ahadith of the school of Ahlul Bayt is that some of the main sources of hadith in Shia school of thought, they start with a chapter, Al-Aql wal-Jahl. Now, it is different from other schools in the Islamic tradition because the sources of hadith in those schools, they start with, like, for example, Kitab al-Iman wal-Kufr, the book of faith and disbelief. But the sources of hadith in Shia, the main sources of hadith, they start with the chapter of reason and ignorance, intellect and ignorance, al-aql wal-jahl, not al-ilm wal-jahl even, because there's a difference between the contrast between reason and ignorance and the contrast between knowledge and ignorance. So that shows the primary position of intellect in everything. It is the intellect that leads us to believe in a God. It is the intellect that leads other people to deny the existence of a God. It is the intellect that does whatever it does within the fold of religion, understanding the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adhering to them, deciding to obey them or to reject them. So it's very important talking about what is intellect and what is hawa. Mainly, generally, we attribute this all to intellect, but we realize that sometimes the intellect is not doing what it's doing under its own decision. Sometimes the intellect falls as a prisoner and hostage under hawa, carnal desires. And like that, that this position of intellect is unique in the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Also, the position of Al-Hujjah, the concept of Al-Hujjah, one of, again, the main chapters of the Ahadith in the schools of Ahlul Bayt is Bab al-Ittirar ila al-Hujjah, the book about the necessity of Hujjah. It is necessary upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to leave signs about himself, leave signs about his religion among people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his providence, because of his mercy upon his creation, cannot leave the creation alone without any hujjah, without any proof, without any sign. And once he leaves such a sign in the history of mankind, then people will be responsible to look and to search and to adhere and to investigate about that sign and then follow it. Otherwise, the problem and the trouble will be theirs. So we will have a break and we come back to talk about one of the verses of the Holy Quran talking about Hujjah and the proofs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among people.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we said that we want to talk about the concept of Hujjah in the Holy Quran and how it relates to human intellect. So the verse that we want to recite is this: وَالَّذِينَ يُحَاجُّونَ فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا اسْتُجِيبَ لَهُ حُجَّتُهُمْ ضَاحِضَةٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. So Quran says some people, they start arguing. If you remember, we said Hujjah is something that is used in Muhajjah, in an argumentation, in a case, in a court of law. If you have a case, and then you argue for your case. So, this verse says, there are people who argue against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُحَجُّونَ فِي اللَّهِ, or about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the fact that whether Allah has sent down any religion, any message or not. Because there are some people who say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent down anything. If there has been a deity, if there has been a God, he had not done enough. Now there is this famous philosopher in the West, he says, there is no evidence for the existence of God. And if I die and there was a God, I will tell him that you have not the right, for example, to punish me because you had not left enough evidence for your existence throughout my life. Now, this verse is an answer to that claim. وَالَّذِينَ يُحَاجُّونَ فِي اللَّهِ, those who argue concerning the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the fact that whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down any religion. Another verse, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ إِذْ قَالُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى بَشَرٍ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. They have not, surely those who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not down any message to mankind, they have not appreciated, they have not understood the reality about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have not understood the scope of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. This stems from their ignorance about what deity, what God they're talking about. So, Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ يُحَاجُّونَ فِي اللَّهِ, those who argue concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا اسْتُجِيبَ لَهُ, after thousands upon thousands of millions and billions of people, if you consider it throughout the history of humanity, smart people, scientists, those who were not any less from this philosopher and his kind, who claim to be the smartest. So we have throughout the history of humanity smart people who accepted the call of revelation, who realized that this message makes sense, who realized that there is truth lying in this message. So all these people, they accepted the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then all of a sudden you claim that you're the smart one? And you're the wise guy who could see something that the millions of people couldn't see. So Quran says those who argue concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that they can see manifestly before their eyes that other people have accepted the faith, and they have accepted it based on the logic and the light that they have found in this message, حُجَّتُهُمْ دَاحِذَةً, the argument that they have is false, is not acceptable. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, before the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such an argument is not acceptable. It shows that Allah has left enough sign in the history of humanity for millions of people to accept from different corners and different layers of life and society. People have come to this religion. How come that a person can claim that I could not see any sign, or that the sign was not there? So this argument is not acceptable according to this verse of the Holy Quran. Thank you very much for listening. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Part 2.
In the 1990s, a big crime was committed in Southeast Europe, which reminded the world of the Middle Ages. The Bosniaks were killed by other groups in former Yugoslavia because they said no to the formation of Serbia and its independence, and more importantly, because they were Muslims. Genocide was committed against Bosniaks in order to cleanse the Green Continent of Muslims and consign Islam into oblivion forever. But a different fate awaited the Bosniaks. This is Sarajevo, the capital city of Bosnia and Herzegovina that shares borders with Serbia and Croatia. Bosnia and Herzegovina is a country which has survived hundreds of years of genocide and has managed to keep Islam alive by itself in Europe. One of the existing Islamic symbols in Sarajevo is a water-drinking place called Sakohane, which is located in an old neighborhood of the city. It is said that a total of 72 such places had been built in Sarajevo in memory of the 72 companions of the third Shia Imam, Imam Hussein, who were martyred during the Battle of Karbala. Currently, one of those places has turned into a cultural symbol of Bosnia and Herzegovina and its capital city. Following the Second World War, the competition between communism and liberalism resulted in the formation of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia by the Balkan countries, and that marked the beginning of a new era for Muslims in this region. With the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia witnessed changes as well, and various regions there declared independence. Slavs in Slovenia, Croats in Croatia, and Muslims in Bosnia and Herzegovina. but the formation of a Muslim-majority country that opposed the establishment of a Serbian government was not to the liking of European leaders. A day after a referendum on independence, a plot was hatched that caused the genocide of Muslims in this region. Muslims in Sarajevo gather in the highest part of the city, awaiting iftar when they break their fast. At dusk, artillery is fired to announce iftar, a measure that children and teenagers like very much. Artillery is fired as a sign to announce the end of the fasting month of Ramadan and the arrival of Eid al-Fitr. Those who have fasted eat their iftar meal to break their fast on the last day of Ramadan and congratulate each other on this occasion. On Eid al-Fitr morning, before sunrise, groups of people go to the venue where Eid prayer is held. A few people would forget the first time that they took part in Eid al-Fitr prayers. Fathers, hand in hand with their sons, go to the venue of the prayers to join other people taking part in the ritual. Congregational prayers at mosques as well as ceremonies to serve iftar coupled with Eid al-Fitr prayers have integrated Bosnian Muslims and they keep trying to maintain that as much as they can. Christmas and the birth anniversary of Jesus Christ is the most important festival in Europe. But in Bosnia and Herzegovina, where the majority of people are Muslims, Eid al-Fitr is and has long been the most important religious festivity. Muslims believe that death is not the end of life and that life will continue in afterworld. Based on this belief, people in Bosnia go to graveyards on Eid al-Fitr to remember and commemorate their loved ones who have died and recite parts of the Holy Quran for them. Part of celebrations on Eid al-Fitr in Bosnia, family members along with parents gather and have lunch. The meal includes foods that are made especially on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. The younger members of the family say congratulations to the elder and celebrate Eid along with them. Every year, on the second day of Eid al-Fitr celebrations, Muslims in Bosnia and Herzegovina hold a ceremony to commemorate war martyrs. The ceremony, during which parts of the Holy Quran are recited, is held in cemeteries where the martyrs are buried. Rasul Haydari was an Iranian military advisor who had come to Bosnia to help people there during the war. Years on since his martyrdom, Bosnians say they still owe him a great deal, and each year they commemorate him on the anniversary of his death. Yeah.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم ومنك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
Today, Sunday, is the 5th of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we choose verse 173 of chapter An-Nisa.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. فأما الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فيوفيهم أجورهم ويزيدهم من فضله وأما الذين استنكفوا واستكبروا فيعذبهم عذابا أليما ولا يجدون لهم من دون الله وليا ولا نصيرا.
And as for those who believed and did righteous deeds, he will give them in full their rewards and grant them extra from his bounty. But as for those who disdained and were arrogant, he will punish them with a painful punishment, and they will not find for themselves besides Allah any protector or helper.
La ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Faith hands first and then there comes forth good deed, yet they are both together. Deeds without faith and faith without deeds do not cause felicity and heaven for you. If you wish to be godly, pay the complete wage to the workers who work for you, and even with a little more. Without having true faith and righteous deeds, you must not expect any intercession from the prophets.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Wa darbi, shukran.
شكرا يا ربي شكرا هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن.
In this episode of today's special, we ask you, what after the month of Ramadan? Even though Ramadan has ended, we all have to make sure it stays with us. How, might you ask? Everybody knows that Ramadan lasts only for a month, 29 or 30 wonderful days. This special month is a time to get closer to Allah Almighty, physically and mentally. And we have to take care not to lose this closeness with Allah Almighty. We know that Ramadan is a very special time in our lives. In addition to the obvious fasting from sunrise to sunset, we must also abstain from so many other things. One added bonus that comes with fasting is that we actually learn to be more kind to those around us. Since we strive to strengthen our bodies with both the physical and mental power that we need to complete our fasts, let's take that a step further and make it last throughout the year. It takes real devotion to Allah to fast for His sake only.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host from IR English Radio. We hope you join us, inshallah, and stay tuned till the end of this show. Today we are going to talk about the strategies for preserving the spiritual effects of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, throughout the year. As the final days of the blessed month of Ramadan approach, it is important to consider strategies for preserving the spiritual effects of Ramadan throughout the year. It is said that humans have a material aspect and a spiritual aspect, or to put it better, an outward appearance and an inward sense. The outward is the body and their inward is the divine soul that breathes within them. Just as humans have both an outward and inward, so does the world. The material and worldly aspects are part of its outward appearance, while the realm of the afterlife and resurrection is in its inward sense. When we compare these two, the inward is always the essence and the outward is secondary. Therefore, the world is like the shell of a nut. The hereafter is like its core. Sometimes we become so absorbed in the shell that we forget there is a core. The greatest achievement of Ramadan is to detach oneself from the material aspect and outward appearances of the world and focus on the inward, the primary aspect. Ramadan is here to reconnect humans with their nature and revive them. A person who is trapped under the burdens of the world and has a dead inner self needs to revive their essence.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light. Be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain pouring all your love to every soul.
Learn about tips on keeping Ramadan spirits alive. The first tip is making it a habit. If you want to keep good habits, you've got to make sure they remain part of your daily schedule. For instance, fasting. Did you know that the Prophet encouraged fasting on Mondays and Thursdays? Yes, the Prophet of Allah said a man's deeds are reported to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays, and I prefer that I should be fasting when my deeds are reported. This is a great way of maintaining the habit so you are not rusty by next Ramadan. Or for example, were you extra generous during Ramadan? Well, maybe you can portion out a set amount of your weekly or monthly paycheck to a charitable cause to maintain the habit of giving. Make the habit part of your daily and weekly schedule. The point is to keep action in practice and of course gain rewards from Allah.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you, to doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light, you guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, and the world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
You're listening to today's special and Life After Ramadan. Continuity in worship is the key. The month of Ramadan is an opportunity for faithful to race with one another toward good deeds and an opportunity to direct one's soul toward meritorious acts and keep it from vices. Yet, it is quite incumbent on Muslims to remain on the path of righteousness even after Ramadan. Worshipping Allah should not be restricted to Ramadan alone, for there is no end to Muslims' worship except when he dies. What unfortunate people are those who fail to engage in remembrance of Allah except in Ramadan. Certainly the acceptance and rejection of deeds in this month have signs. Among the signs of acceptance of good deed is when it is followed up by good deeds, and it is among the signs of rejection to follow one's good deeds with evil ones.
Sheikh Salim Bimji.
The goal of the month of Ramadan, as Allah had talked about it in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, Allah says that fasting had been prescribed for us just as previous nations were given a form of fasting. And the reason why is Allah said, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps maybe that you may attain some level of taqwa, some level of awareness and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at how our scholars of spirituality speak about what comes after the month, they tell us that, you know, we need to basically try to preserve whatever it is that we have gathered in the month of Ramadan. You know, it's not like, it's just similar to anything within our life. You know, when people are, for example, training for a sporting event, they're not only training for that one day of the event, but obviously it is a continuous process of them. Maybe they want to compete in another year, they want to maintain their physique, or whatever the case may be. It's always a fact, and a fact of life, that whenever we attain something, it's usually not just for that moment, but it is for us to continue with that particular thing that we were seeking and looking for. And so Ramadan is the same, that whatever lessons that we had learned within the blessed month are lessons that we should be hoping to try to carry on within the rest of the year until the next month of Ramadan.
Thank you for listening to this episode of today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Ya Rahman, Ya Razzaq, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Qahhar, Ya Wahhab, Ya Tawwab, Ya Rahim, Ya Aziz, Ya Sami', Ya Basir, Ya Latif, Ya Khabir, حليم يا عظيم يا كبير يا حفيظ يا وليم.
comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Well, welcome to